And just to give our audiences a little bit of backstory here, we'll talk a little bit about the Gaiety School of Acting in Dublin. It is the premier acting program in Dublin and Ireland.
Yes.
Which is saying a lot given the Irish passion for theater. But tell us how you got there, how to come about.
Well, my freshman year at Lehigh University, I was cast in a production of A Moon for the Misbegotten by Eugene O'Neill, directed by Pam Pepper, who is my advisor at Lehigh. So that really set me on the line for loving Irish-American theater. And from that point on, I read more Irish-American and Irish writers from that point. And there was also a student at Lehigh who went to the Gaiety School of Acting, and she recommended the program strongly to me. Mm. So that was a definite thing for me that was a strong reason.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's exciting. You know, we have a particular passion for Irish theater, et cetera. Of course, I'm sure our audiences are aware of by now. But just the idea, I think it's so invaluable. I'd love to hear more of your thoughts on this. Just the idea of being able to take that time and step outside your own, your familiar culture, mm-hmm. to not only see American culture and the arts from across the water through another set of eyes, mm-hmm. and also to be the stranger in a strange land, to be in a place that's new to you. Mm. And it seems to me, as well as the studying, you did a tremendous amount of seeing theater.
Yes.
And you were saying earlier to me that it was just a real rediscovery of what that's like.
Yeah, well, I realized as an artist, you not only have to do, but you have to see. You have to experience. A lot of people get involved in arts because of what they experience. And when you get too involved in doing your own work, you can lose sight of why you got in it to begin with. So it was really a rekindling of my love for theater. I got to see things. I got to see people living their lives out through it again. And that was really a beautiful thing for me to see.
Mm. I'm sure you know that Joe Dowling was the creator of the Gaiety School of Theater in Dublin, and then is actually the artistic director now at
The Guthrie
Theater in Minneapolis.
Yes.
So the program has a lot of Irish-American ties, actually, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I know that Dowling, there's the Dowling connection, and the current director teaches a lot in the States as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Patrick Sutton, he's actually going to be in Wisconsin in a few weeks.
Okay.
He's going to be in Wisconsin in September. But Patrick was a phenomenal teacher. Mm. I learned a lot in a month, and he had a real love for it. And gave us great notes, compliments, but notes at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And made us all feel welcome in his place. I remember stepping in the first day to the studio. I was jet-lagged. I was soaked from what the listeners might know as typical Irish weather. But he shook my hand and he said, "You're very welcome. I hope you get some rest and come back tomorrow and we'll have some fun."
Did you find the program or the approach very different than what you'd experienced in your own acting classes and work here in the States?
Yes. Immediately we started on vocal work, which more of what I've been focused on in the States is going immediately for the work and processing the vocal, the movement, all of that along with the work. But what we really focused on was making the work about the vocalization and the movement rather than the movement and the vocalization about the work. So it was just a reversal of sorts. And both methods are beautiful, but it was really a thing for me to look back and realize that an actor has to work on the vocalizations and movements as part of their routine. So it was a great thing there, realizing that again.
Interestingly enough, in theater we say that it is not things are not right or wrong. They are what work and what does not work.
Yeah.
And that means specifically for each actor. So each style in acting or technique is great to absorb as much as you can of all of the techniques and choose the one that works best for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did you and I think given that it was interesting, you were working with American students in the summer program,
yes.
but going out and then seeing Irish work on stage at night or on the weekends. And what did you see a lot in Dublin? I mean, I know later on in Edinburgh you saw a ton of work, but
yes, pretty much all the shows I saw in Dublin. There was one show that I saw in Kilkenny, which was actually a production of Oleana, that David Scott, who is another teacher at the Gaiety School of Acting, he was playing John in that production.
Oh.
And I went to go see that, and I connected with him. And he's an Australian who immigrated to Ireland and has been teaching there since, I believe, 1994.
Oh, my.
So he had great things to say about the program, and, you know, I still connect with him time and time.
So. Well, what did you think of seeing an Irish production of Oleana? I mean, Mavic can be considered so uber-American, you know.
The funny thing is, they were doing American accents, which, when they came out, it's like, wow, this, I thought it was great because there was certainly an Irish sentiment that was going along with it. There was a certain pace to it that I think would be lost on an American crowd. I think it definitely played to an Irish sentiment.
That's interesting. Yeah.
The other interesting thing is, I find it, having directed in Ireland and here as well, is that the Irish people, the Irish actor, has a much better sense of grasping American dialects than Americans have of embracing Irish dialects. I mean, when we Americans do Irish dialects, we sound like the little Keebler elf, you know.
But oh, I know that firsthand.
The Irish people are so good at getting a Vermont accent as opposed to a Florida accent.
Well, American film and stuff is so omnipresent, though. I suppose maybe it's exposure? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Well, the funny thing is, when I went over there, you know, I think a lot of Americans at first think, oh, I don't have an accent. And then I went over, it's like, oh, where are you from? Pennsylvania. And it's like they had it immediately. And it just surprised me so much that a Pennsylvanian accent could be different from a Connecticut accent, for instance. Yeah. But they could identify states.
That's
they do have a problem with the with Pennsylvania Dutch accent.
So the production in Kilkenny then was, did you make the particular effort to see it because you're going to be is the same role you'll be playing in Oleana?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
I made a effort to see it not only because of the play but also because David was a very interesting guy. He teaches at the Gaiety School and fuses Stanislavski with Meyerhold and does some great stuff there. So and has even written a few books on his own acting methods.
Interesting. So, yeah. So do you find, I mean, aside from, it's a month of intensive work, and but you're in the middle of Dublin, which is a very changed city in the last, since the Celtic Tiger and the boom. It's a very, very increasingly sophisticated, I mean, it always was fabulous, but it's very worldly and very...
Yes.
Was it what you expected? What surprised you? What?
Well, it was certainly multicultural. I walked around, and the Gaiety School of Acting is centered in the Temple Bar, which, you know, you can step right out of the school and you're walking through culture, and you're walking through places where there's the traditional pub crawls that I went to one night and listened to traditional Irish music. And at the same time, there's something that gives you the comfort of the American home, you know, that they definitely play some American classics through there. So, and there were groups coming through all the time. In fact, we saw several Spanish students that came to Ireland, mainly for the fact that they used that time as their not only vacation, but a way that they will learn English
makes sense.
Abroad.
Sure.
So not only England, but Ireland as well is used as a place for Spanish students to learn English.
Now, did you see one particular, following you on Facebook and following you while you were abroad, a production called Griswold. Now, did you see that in Dublin? That seemed to particularly strike you.
Yes. Griswold was focused around two... illegal immigrants who were of Irish descent and came over 8 years before September 11th. And they came over and really enjoyed the fact that they were making significant amounts of money, really had a posh lifestyle, and were working at the World Trade Center.
Okay.
And seeing that production across the pond was shocking when I saw that. And when I came in, I saw the silhouette of the Twin Towers. And, you know, it made me realize I hadn't thought about that for so long, you know, that we realize, you know, that was really a global incident.
Yeah.
And it affected so many people. And it was interesting seeing the take that the Irish had on that.
This is a new play, incidentally, for our listeners, by Thomas Fanning. And it confronts really the concept of Irish masculinity that's so common, really, in Irish theater, but with an emphasis on how its masculinity develops when Irish males are outside of Ireland.
As well as that sense of being at home or not at home, too, it seems, from what I've read about it. I was struck that you said that, oddly enough, it made you feel I mean, here you were, an American, sitting in Dublin watching two Irishmen's story of how 911 impacted them, and you were the one being moved and made to feel connected to that experience all over again.
Yeah. Well, it was a connecting thing. Yeah, I was sitting in the front row with it, and you know, I wasn't sure what to expect. The poster certainly told a certain story, but when I went in, it connected on me not only with the event of 9/11, but certainly masculinity in all culture is something that the play struggles with. So, yeah.
That's interesting. And we'll be breaking soon for a little bit, but just before we do, I mean, we'll, I'd love to talk more about Edinburgh, because it would have been interesting going from studying to be thrown into the fire, so to speak, of the festival. But, George,
yeah,
you have a thought?
Why do they call, why isn't it Edinburgh? It's spelled like that.
That's another.
You have to be Scottish.
That's another Scottish.
There was a Scotsman who explained it to me. It's like,
really?
You just have to put a little emphasis on the end of it. It's like, you just get a little lazy with it. Edinburgh.
Edinburgh.
Yeah.
E-D-I-N-B-U-R-G is Edinburgh to me, like Pittsburgh should not be Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And just quickly, again, before we break for a moment, and because we'll be wandering off from this, but do you feel like that the time... the month, particularly with the study, the acting study. I mean, you're coming back to act and direct.
Yes.
Do you think it's going to, has it changed the way that you approach rehearsal or the work?
I think it's given me the ability to really sit by and realize that I have to be tenacious in my work. You know, and that I really have to enjoy the work. I think a lot of times that young actors... can get really stressed out, not only with school, but the realization that it's going to be a tough economy to get into, but really finding the fact that you have to love the work. And, you know, it really just underlined that fact that, you know, I have to love it, and I do.
Thank you.
We will probably be talking about Brian Friel, maybe, or Jam Singh, or no, let's talk about Martin McDonagh or Enda Walsh. But we are going to talk about Irish theater, but we're also going to talk about a little bit of what you are doing at Lehigh University when we come back. This is, of course, the Lehigh Valley Arts Salon, WDIY 88.1, Allentown and Bethlehem, and we will be right back after this.
For program support on WDIY, we thank the Philadelphia Museum of Art, presenting Gauguin, Cézanne, and Matisse, Visions of Arcadia, in which the masters and their contemporaries evoke the bliss of an earthly paradise. On view starting June 20th. Tickets at philomuseum.org.
We are back with Andrew Chippa, who spent this summer studying abroad with the renowned Gaiety School of Acting in Dublin, Ireland. He is now back to share some of those thoughts, some of those memories, some of that acting ability with us at Lehigh University this upcoming theatrical performance season.
But before we go there,
yes.
I just need to, I mean, I had the good fortune many, many years ago to be at the Edinburgh Fringe helping a friend with their production, and I can still see every moment of it. It was brilliant.
Yes.
So a little while ago, you had a picture on your Facebook page of just the tickets lined up for everything you planned to see, and I was so envious.
Yes. And that was only the stuff that was ticketed. There were non-ticketed events, and I probably saw... half and half. So,
okay. Wow.
You know, the ticketed events, you know, I had kind of planned those things out, and I got really lucky with what I picked at random.
Did you?
Yeah, you know, there were some things that I knew. It's like, okay, I have to see this. This theater group has been rated before by the Fringe. But there were other things that I went on the allure by their website and what they had in the program. And, you know, I just said, you know, this is a time to take a risk. So I went and saw some beautiful things there.
That's what's great about The Fringe, too. It is so much about taking that risk and the crazy discoveries. Tell us about some of your favorite moments.
I saw this play called The Gambler, and it made me realize, you know, a lot of people think that mime is the stereotypical white face paint, red cheeks, and the black and white stripe setup, but this was absolutely beautiful. And it was not... complete mime, but it was physical theater and told the story of a man who dealt with gambling addiction. And it was crushing at times, but the elegance at which the actors portrayed it was truly beautiful. And I walked in there, and that was one of the first shows I saw, and I realized this was a magic moment. You know, it was that magic of theater that really brings people into it, and I realized this was going to be an awesome 10 days.
Yeah. And a lot of the spaces aren't traditional theaters, right? No. I mean, it's happening everywhere.
No, a lot of them, a lot of the stuff that was at the University of Edinburgh was actually classrooms that were refitted. They took the tables out, the chairs out, and, you know, they painted the floor black, put up some lean-to curtains, and put a little bit of stadium seating in there, and boom, voila. You have a theater.
And now I should tell the audience, too, I mean, I'm sure some folks realize, but August in Edinburgh is amazing. There are seven festivals going on at the same time. The Fringe really it grew out of the Edinburgh International Festival, which is happening simultaneously. Yeah. Then you have the Festival Fringe, the Edinburgh International Book Festival, the Edinburgh Jazz and Blues Festival, the Edinburgh Art Festival, the Edinburgh Mela, and, of course, the Royal Edinburgh Military Tattoo.
Yes.
And what did you say, the population like quadruples or something for the month?
And the funny thing is, the Royal Tattoo, I didn't get a chance to go in because I was pretty booked with the Fringe Festival. Sure. But every time they had the RAF flyby, the jets were so loud and they moved so much air that they would set off the car alarms.
Really?
Yes. Yes. It was that fantastic. But, yeah.
And did you find, just thinking before we move on, Edinburgh, again, surprises, things that affected you, you think will make you approach, aside from rediscovering that joy of being in the audience and being surprised.
You know, what I saw at Edinburgh was really the shameless promotion of your own work. You know, I saw a lot of actors out there, and it's like they were handing out flyers, you know, and it's like, come see my show, and, you know, I realized, you want to get people in seats, you have to be out there and you have to promote yourself. And you know, that's really what I took away from it is that you know you can do all the work, but if you're not willing to put in the publicity for it, you know, then what did you do the work for?
You've got to be a businessman. And in that way, I want you just to mention very briefly, all my life I wanted to have our company or both of us be in American Theater Magazine. Well, it happened very briefly years ago, but now we are in Irish theater magazines to this day in a couple of the productions that we still do and direct and produce here in the States and take to Ireland. So in that, you need to market yourself.
Like that, exactly.
You really need
exactly.
to market yourself as an actor. Yes. Too many of us don't. We just get stuck in our little coupe of of a traveling down that road.
Well, I think, too, it's important. It's interesting. I found when we were in Ireland, a lot of folks there make the productions pay by touring because the population bases are smaller. Yeah. But there's that dedication to, you know, if you're going to do the show, you're going to be out on the road for 6 months or something. Mm-hmm. And it's just a very different way of thinking about balancing the books, you know, rather than selling subscriptions or the way we approach it.
Well, I think one of the benefits that Ireland has in terms of tours is that you can get to the other side of the country in less than 4 hours
by bus.
But, you know, it is a major issue in the States for touring. You know, it's like the fact that you have to travel across country, and that can take 2 to 3 days sometimes.
Right,
you know,
absolutely.
And that's a major reason why tours have to be sold out, you know, and do cost an arm and a leg for people to go to. And, you know, the tours that I saw that were coming through Dublin were, you know, student rates were along the line of €5, so that was €7.50.
Yeah.
So let's talk briefly about Lehigh University.
Yes.
Upcoming Oleana and Moises Kaufman's The Laramie Project. Yes. Were they chosen by you, or was it by the theater department?
Both plays were chosen by the theater department, but I was kept in consideration for both as part of a senior capstone.
Sure.
So with Oleana, Professor Gus Ripa is directing that, and that will be opening September 28th. And I feel that I should mention my fellow actor, Esperanza Pacheco, who is also a senior. She will be playing Carol along with myself playing John.
Okay.
Very good.
And that's opening again when?
September 28th.
Okay.
And that'll be in the Diamond Theater.
All right. So you're going to be rehearsal soon.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. We actually rehearsed up till I left for Dublin. So we got some summer rehearsals in. So, you know, we have the ability to streamline ourselves.
Right. Yeah. And the Laramie Project is a huge, exciting...
Yes.
Almost a tour de force, except it's a huge cast, but it's delicious roles.
Yes.
Stylized. I mean, how do you feel? Are you excited? A little intimidated?
I feel honored by the fact that I was chosen to direct this. And, you know, it is a heavy load to take on, you know, but I want to treat it with the respect that it deserves.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a great design team lined up. I've got a great support system lined up. Mm-hmm. And really, the work that's being done by Lehigh University and the theater department this year, the season is titled America the Beautiful. Mm-hmm. And brings up questions. It's like, you know, is this beautiful, and how do we find beauty in the worst of moments?
Mm-hmm. Hopefully the actors won't be doing it with an Irish accent, will they?
No, okay. No, no.
That'll be Anders. I was going to say before we wrap up, further down the road, and that's interesting, the idea of America the Beautiful and Americana and what it is mm-hmm. to be American, especially in a world that's very connected now. Would you look to hope to take work back across the pond or to work yourself overseas?
Of course,
yeah.
Of course. You know, I'd love to go back and work in Dublin, and I'd love to go and work in Ireland in general, and I'd like to make the connections to also work in the States. I've recently gotten my young person's discount from the Irish Repertory Theatre in New York, so
hey.
I'm hoping to go see a production of theirs. I believe it's a musical adaptation of one of Eugene O'Neill's plays.
Mm-hmm.
The name slips me right now, but... Mm-hmm. You know, it's just making those connections and, you know, being tenacious and being the businessman.
Yeah. See?
Mm-hmm. Mm. What happens to Andrew after graduation from Lehigh?
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, that's a question I've been asking myself a lot. I'm going to be applying to the URTAs, the University/Resident Theater Association, for either looking for work or graduate school. I'm also going to be looking pretty... diligently at Philadelphia. You know, I've been looking at, you know, what would it take to be a working theater artist, you know, the possibility of possibly doing some acting coaching for at-risk youth, and making something that I can give back to the community through my work. So there's a few avenues that I've got to explore, but very excited about the future.
Very good.
I'm feeling very maternal here.
Yeah, so am I.
tickets
to Lehigh. The upcoming season, of course.
Yes.
We're going to tell everybody about it in 2 weeks when Deb Zacharakis is our guest here
talking about
Zollner and everything's happening at Zollner, but theater tickets.
Yes, the theater ticket prices are $12 for adults, $11 for faculty and staff at the university, and seniors as well, and $5 for students. Yes.
Right. Yeah. And so we can find out more information, of course, on Lehigh's website.
Yes, we can.
And look for the theater department.
Yep.
Real quickly, aside from Laramie Project and Oleana, what else is part of America the Beautiful?
Also part of America the Beautiful is The Crucible by Arthur Miller and Urinetown the Musical.
Very good.
Yes.
Well, Andrew, you have been a joy to talk with, and I'm so glad you're back from Ireland. But maybe we'll see you over there sometime as we are crossing
Indeed.
The pond.
Crossing
you are
paths.
Certainly one of the exceptional, brilliant, creative theater folks that we have in the Lehigh Valley. We hope that we hang on to you because we see more and more brilliant, creative people coming from the Lehigh Valley. And we thank you for being here tonight. Thank you, Kate, and thank you, Andrew.
Thank you very much.
This is WDIY, Lehigh Valley Arts Salon. 88.1, Allentown and Bethlehem.
Next up on Lehigh Valley Art Salon, At the Movies, a review of a current film with Paul Willistein of the Press.
The film The Intouchables is bracing, uplifting, and a triumph of the human spirit. Philippe, played by Francois Cousset, is a very wealthy Paris widower who is a tetraplegic following an accident. Philippe hires Driss, played by Omar Sy, who is a very poor, street-smart Senegalese, and he hires him as his live-in primary caregiver. Inside the gated mansion, Magali, played by Audrey Fleurot, is Philippe's very stern secretary. Yvonne, played by Anne Lanny, is Philippe's household manager. Co-writers and co-directors, Olivier Nakashi and Eric Toledano have fashioned a conventional screenplay and film to tell an unconventional story in The Intouchables. The filming is straightforward with few gimmicks except for the effective use of split-screen images. The Intouchables is based on the book You Changed My Life by Abel Selu, which is based on a true story. The film allows the viewer to see the world through the eyes of the paralyzed Philippe, for whom most of life's possibilities have been shut down, and through the eyes of Driss, for whom life is an endless series of possibilities to be exploited. As Philippe, Francois Cluzet, who, when he has a beard, resembles Robert De Niro, and who, when clean-shaven, resembles Dustin Hoffman, does a lot with a role that requires him to keep 90% of his body immobile. His twinkling eyes and impish grin make up the difference. As Driss, Omar Sy is a powerful, dynamic, even frightening presence with a great reservoir of life and humanity. What makes The Untouchables so compelling is the interplay between Cluzet and Sy and their growing friendship, respect, and understanding. It unfolds with lots of humor. The Untouchables, one of the most successful films ever at the French box office, has grossed some $360 million worldwide, is the most popular French-made film since Amelie, and is likely to receive several Oscar nominations. Don't miss it. The Untouchables is MPAA rated R for language and some drug use. At the box office, August 10, The Bourne Legacy opened at number 1, The Campaign opened at number 2, Hope Springs opened at number 4. Opening August 15 is The Odd Life of Timothy Green. Jennifer Garner stars in the fantasy comedy about a childless couple whose wish comes true. Opening August 17 is Sparkle. This was to have been the late Whitney Houston's big comeback. It's about a fictional 1960s Motown female vocal trio. The Expendables 2, Sylvester Stallone, Bruce Willis, and Arnold Schwarzenegger are back, facing off with Jean-Claude Van Damme in the action-adventure film. Paranormal, a boy can speak with the dear and not-so-dear departed in the animation fantasy comedy. Ruby Sparks. Paul Dano stars as a novelist whose character, Ruby Sparks, played by Zoe Kazan, who wrote the film's screenplay, comes to life in the comedy. The Queen of Versailles, a documentary about Jackie and David Siegel, who build their dream house, only to lose it in the real estate bubble burst. I'm Paul Wollestein of the Lehigh Valley Press at the movies for WDIY.
Thanks for listening to Lehigh Valley Art Salon on WDIY Allentown. Where definitely it's you, listener-supported community public radio, your source for local news and public affairs, NPR, and great music diversity. The time is approaching 6:30. That means it's time to take charge of your life.